The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And on today's program, we'll be focusing on performances by the Penguin Project of McLean County and the Illinois Summer Harp Class happening at the University of Illinois, actually in reverse order. The harpist we have for you on the show today is Erin Brooker. She'll be playing the Irish harp for us, one of several kinds of harps that are will be played on concerts this week, starting on Thursday and running through Saturday on the U of I campus in Urbana. The Penguin Project of McLean County will present a stage production of Beauty and the Beast Jr., June 8th through 10th at Central Catholic High School Auditorium. Penguin Project, a unique group of individuals with various types of disabilities, and interesting story, of course, how that project got created and how it works, and we'll be having some of our actors on the show in the first part of the program. Coming up on the second part of the program today. It's live and local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. That was Michael Jackson's Thriller, although I guess he didn't actually write the tune. Rod Temperton is who's credited here. I just assume Michael Jackson wrote it for some reason. Probably everybody else assumes the same thing. It was a performance by Jake Shimabukuro on the ukulele, or as they would say in Hawaiian, ukulele. And he was on our show, it might even be a couple of years ago now, maybe not quite that long. It's from his live CD, and actually played that for a particular reason that I might remember to tell you as we come up later on in this portion of Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Coming up in the second half, we'll be having a couple of actors from the Penguin Project of McLean County who are presenting Beauty and the Beast Jr., June 8th through 10th. But first, we have one of the harpists who will be performing during the Illinois Summer Harp Class, Illinois referring to University of Illinois specifically, since that's where it takes place. We also have the director of the program, who is also the harp professor at the University of Illinois, Ann Young. Erin Brooker is the harpist who will be playing, one of three harpists playing on Friday's recitals. There's an afternoon one and an evening one as well. So welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Ann, is this, I think it's the third time that you and I have talked about the harp class on this show, but I don't know how long it's been going on.
Well, I don't either, because it's the 10th time it's happening this year, so I'm sure at some point we have. I know. Actually, one of the Friday night recitalists, I think Jen Yu Wong, who is the Krannert debut artist in 2010, she was on here before.
She's been on a couple of times.
Yes.
Because I remember very well the booties she sometimes puts on her pedals.
Yes, on her concert grand harp.
Yeah, I don't know if she's doing that or not. So to talk a little bit about the purpose of the harp class, who's it open for, an overview of the concerts maybe as well.
Well, it's a harp class for all ages and levels, actually. I've had people as aged and mature as age 55 to this year. I believe there's a pair of sisters coming ages 7 and 12. And it's basically for them to come, have an intensive but creative and supportive environment. So this week we actually have some very special concerts going on featuring many different harps. On Thursday evening, we have Julia K. Jameson, who used to reside in the Central Illinois area, founding arranger of the Harp Corps 4. She's actually going to be playing both pedal harp and the Douglas single action harp, which was formerly known as a Dilling harp, named after the famous harpist Mildred Dilling, who used to do radio shows. There's a composer who's written a piece for her former teacher, Jocelyn Chang, who unfortunately passed away a couple years ago. So on Thursday night, they're sort of doing a program that has a mixture of both contemporary music and also pop jazz selections, Duke Ellington, Gershwin, Queen, Freddie Mercury. So that starts on Thursday night, 7 o'clock talk, and then 7:30 concert. And then Friday, we have Erin, who's in the studio now. She's going to do a noontime concert in the Memorial Room of Smith Hall, and she's going to play both pedal and Irish harp. She's an award-winning Irish harper, also a student here at Illinois, a Chancellor Scholar, and I believe the latest update is that her brother is going to be joining her on fiddle. They actually play Brennan Brooker. So that's Friday's afternoon concert. Then in the evening, we have wonderful classical music, Jenu and Molly O'Rourke from the Eastman School of Music, playing both pedal harp and electroacoustic harp, which is basically an amplified harp. Saturday, we have three young talents. One is Sydney Campin from here, Mapleton, Illinois. She's actually a finalist for a competition this summer, so she's going to be playing on a recital. And then we end on Saturday night with the participants' recital and the premiere of a new harp ensemble piece by Julia, written just for this special class. So a lot going on, and hopefully it's all free and open to the public, and hope people get to hear lots of different styles of harp music and harps this year.
Jumping ahead to the next to last recital, the Youth Talents recital, you mentioned Sydney Campin, and there are two others as well. How did those folks get to be on that recital?
Well, actually, it's quite a heartfelt story. Both Chelsea Balmer and Lydia Weishart, they've actually attended, I believe this might be their fourth or fifth ISHC, and they're students from the Louisville, Kentucky area, and their teacher there, Lisa Spurlock Gilmore, is one of my first private students back when I was studying in Bloomington, Indiana, and she has a huge studio. I don't know how she manages it, but she has like 50 to 60 students, both harp and piano, and really fine talents. And Chelsea actually in 2009 was a prize winner in the American Harp Society National Solo Competition, which happens every 2 years. And both Lydia and her they play in a harp quartet there in Louisville. So we thought it'd be really nice to sort of have a recital to give young talents, both to feature them and also to give them an opportunity to play. So
sure. I assume that the classes themselves are closed at this point, or is it still possible for people to come?
We certainly have space for auditors if they'd like to register and observe the classes. Have them contact Steve Burian, who's our assistant director in the Office of Public Engagement in Music. So we'd be happy to have more auditors. At this point, probably the participants... we could probably still have more participants, but pretty much, yes, just to contact our outreach office and we'll try to make arrangements. But basically all the concerts are open and free to the public, so we hope they can come. And we also have, on Saturday morning, I should say, which is part of the class if auditors are interested, several workshops going on at the same time for the participants and auditors, including Alexander Murray, who's come every year and sort of given a presentation on the Alexander technique. He's our former flute professor here and one of, most distinguished teachers were Alexander Technique in Urbana. And then Julia Jameson actually is going to be giving two workshops. One just about being a sort of creative musician, both arranging and composing. And then later she's going to lead for the first time ever a improv workshop for those interested participants and assistants, such as Erin, if they'd like to join in. So
for more information on all this stuff and to get a rundown on the recitals, in case you forget the things we're saying, which is easy to do. The web address is music.illinois.edu. You can find out about everything going on at the School of Music at the University of Illinois, for that matter. Well, Erin, since we brought you here, we might as well let you play a little bit, and then we can talk about you after we hear you first.
All right.
So you want to introduce this first piece for us?
Sure. So the first... piece or set I'll play is a slower tune by a Scottish harpist named Maeve Gilchrist. It's called The Swan, and I'll follow that into an Irish tune called The Walls of Old Limerick. Thank you.
Aaron Brooker playing on the Irish harp. I believe you said the first tune was called The Swan by Maeve Gilchrist.
Yes.
Was the second tune The Walls of Old Limerick?
Yes.
Oh, I got it right.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a traditional one?
Yes.
Yeah. When and why did you pick up the Irish harp in addition to what most people would call the concert harp or the pedal harp, if you're getting technical from a harpist's point of view?
It was kind of a fluke that I started playing Irish music too. I first got interested because I went to a Christmas concert with my parents when I was 10. It was a harp and violin duet in the St. Louis area. And it was a concert grand pedal harp, but after that moment, I was kind of obsessed. And I really, really wanted to play the harp for some reason. I'm not really sure. And I, begged my parents for, almost a year until they, took me seriously. And so we had a group of friends who did Irish dancing with a group in St. Louis called St. Louis Irish Arts. And they have a harp teacher there. So when we heard about that, my parents were like, oh, well, that's some way that we can get started. And I have an Irish heritage, so it kind of came in with that, too. And so I started Irish music, and I did classical at the same time.
No Jamaican heritage, though.
No.
This is a radio show, so you have no idea why I just said that. I've just not seen a dreadlocked harpist before.
Yeah, it's a little unusual.
Yeah, I have many questions about dreadlocks, not one of which I will ask right now, but maybe later.
Definitely.
Always sort of fascinated me. You're a entering junior or completed your junior year at U of I?
Entering
junior. Uh-huh. So you're in the middle of your, at least, college education on the instrument. Are mm-hmm. you at this point thinking, I want to be a concert harpist, or I want to be an Irish harpist, or you don't want to be a harpist at all professionally? You know, what are you thinking?
I definitely want to be a harpist of some sort. I don't really know exactly what venue I'll choose. I really like orchestral music, so one option is to go into orchestral playing, and that's classical, obviously. But Irish music is also just a really fun way to play music, so hopefully I'll keep going with it. I'd like to go back to Ireland and study kind of at a higher level after my undergrad here, and then maybe go back to classical music. I'd like to do both.
There are traditional Irish sessions that go on in this community, and there's a lot of course, there's Irish concerts that we actually cover fairly often here on the station, on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. In fact, we're doing one tomorrow of fiddle and Ilan Pipes, and I think he does play the flute and whistle as well. That'll be happening on the show tomorrow for concerts happening tomorrow night. Is the harp something that one can take to a session, and have you ever done that?
Yeah, I've actually gone to the Wednesday night session in town before with my harp. Since I competed in Ireland for about 6 years, I think, at the World Competition over there. And obviously they have a week leading up to the competition where there's a class during the day. And then at night, everybody goes out to the sessions. And it's actually really interesting because harps are kind of looked down upon whenever you go to a session because it's big and it's always really, really crowded. And I guess people that play fiddle or flute have this idea in their head where, oh, the harp is just going to play some pretty slow music. We don't want you to be here. We want to play some fast tunes. But recently in the Irish world, the harp has definitely been making a push, and we try to get out there just as much and show people that we can play fast music and do fun stuff. So,
well, plus it takes you so long to tune. You know,
right.
Flute, you twist the joint and there you are. An accordion, you just don't bother.
Right, probably. It's a lot harder to get around with a harp to get to sessions, especially in Ireland. But I think it's worth it. And once you get there, people do enjoy it.
Well, and this is even a small harp.
Right.
You know, this is as tall as you are when you're sitting.
Right.
As opposed to a concert harp, a pedal harp, which is
taller.
As tall as you are
standing.
When you're standing.
Yeah.
Right. So Aaron Brooker will be playing a recital on both pedal and Irish harps on Friday, at noon during this time, so you actually have license if you want not to listen to Live and Local and go to the Memorial Room of Smith Memorial Hall on the University of Illinois campus. It's happening during the 2012 Illinois Summer Harp Class, which is led by Ann Young, who is the professor of harp at the University of Illinois. Do you teach or play Irish harp yourself?
I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm an authentic Irish harper at all, but, you know, the music, we certainly play the tunes, and I don't teach. I mean, Erin came in with, you know, obviously the background that she's talked about, but it's such a rich tradition in harp music, and this, the instrument of the harp, you know, the Irish harp is, you know, it's on the emblem of the Irish coin, or flip the Guinness coin, you know, and if you heard that last piece that she, the last song that she was doing, there's a lot of intricate, rhythmical, just jig dance, you know, it's an energetic music, energetic beat, a lot of passion and things. So I think there's a lot of aspects to the harp, Irish harp in particular, music that, you know, informs, you know, the musicianship of everything we do. Is you were asking Erin what she'd like to do. I think she's uniquely positioned because in these days it's kind of being creative, being able to play a lot of eclectic styles, both classical and, you know, different traditions, and being able to switch between that and to do them well and to understand them. So I think, you know, it's exciting what she's going to be doing. I think it'll be a treat to hear her on Friday. So
you mentioned earlier on Thursday's recital, Julia Jameson's going to be doing playing both pedal harp and the Douglas or Dilling harp. Mm-hmm. I've actually never heard of either of those. Or same thing, I guess. What is it?
Well, you know, it's about the size of Erin's Irish harp here in the studio. And Douglas is a type of maker. It was known as the Dilling harp for a long time because there's a famous harpist, Mildred Dilling, who used to travel all through the world, buy planes, fly to Alaska, playing on NBC radio shows. And the difference between it actually has a type of mechanism very similar to a concert pedal harp, in that if you flip one switch for this harp, it'll change all the pitches on a particular class of strings. So all the C strings will raise up a pitch, whereas on the lever harp that Erin's playing, like, I don't know if you want to just demonstrate really quickly with a lever down, if she wants to change a pitch on a string,
So that's down, and then you lift the lever, and it's...
Right.
But it's one lever per string on the Irish harp.
So it takes a lot more effort to change keys.
So with this type of Dilling harp, it actually has a mechanism where if she just flipped one switch, it would change all the C strings in one way and, you know, or flip them back. So
is that sort of like with the lever on the Douglas or Dilling harp, you do what the pedal would do on the pedal harp?
Exactly.
So it's just smaller, and so you can manage it with your finger instead of needing your foot.
Right. And her teacher in Cleveland, Jocelyn Chang, really championed this instrument, premiered over 70 works she commissioned for it, which Julia will play three of them on her concert. And actually, Jocelyn actually visited the Urbana campus before the harp class started, and actually same month, June of 2002, and played on the Dilling harp. And I think she played the piece that was written for her by her widow, Michael Leese, which Julia is also going to play on this concert. So should be a rare opportunity to hear this special instrument.
That'll be 7:30 Thursday in the recital hall at Smith. The opening concert for the summer harp class. I believe, Erin, you brought another tune or set for us?
Yeah, definitely. okay, so this one kind of has two of my current favorite Irish tunes to play. The first one is a slip jig, and I actually do know the name. It's The Humours of Ballylochland. Tradition in Irish music is not really to know the name, so...
I've heard that before.
Right, so I'm trying to go through the names in my head really fast. So The Humours of Ballylochland is the first, and then I'll switch to a jig that I don't know the name of, and then follow it by a reel that may or may not be New Year's Day, but I'm not sure.
We do know that Erin Brooker is playing it, though, here, live on Live and Local. Thank you. Aaron Brooker playing, let's see if I can remember this. There was a slip jig, a jig, and then a reel?
Yeah, so all different meters.
Yeah, and that last one, Ann Young was saying earlier when you played, there was particularly intricate rhythmic play going on. That one seemed to have a lot of that going on as well. It was great to hear you playing on the Irish harp here live on Live and Local. She'll be playing that harp and also the concert pedal harp on Friday at noon. The second recital during the 2012 Illinois Summer Harp Class at the University of Illinois. The opening concert is Thursday night at 7:30 in Smith Hall in the Recital Hall. That one on Friday at noon will be in the Memorial Room upstairs, second floor, Smith Hall. And then Friday evening, 7:30, Molly O'Rourke and Chen Yu Huang on in the auditorium of the Music Building on campus. Saturday at 2 o'clock, the Youth Talents Recital, also in the auditorium at the Music Building, featuring Sydney Campen, Lydia Weishart, and Chelsea Ballmer. And then all the participants, or at least many, some of the participants, giving a recital together on Friday night, 7:30, also in the auditorium of the Music Building, including the premiere of one of Julia K. Jameson's pieces. Thanks, Anne, for coming in and for bringing Aaron with us. And thanks, Aaron, very much for playing.
Thank you.
It's great to hear you.
Thanks for having us.
Today's broadcast on Live and Local is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music. Breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. Coming up, we have a couple of the actors from the production upcoming June 8th through 10th by the Penguin Project of McLean County. It'll be Beauty and the Beast Jr. But first, the reason I played at the top of the hour, if you happen to have been listening at that point, a ukulele version of Michael Jackson's Thriller, the connection here is that one of the pieces Julia will be playing on Thursday's concert is an arrangement of Freddie Mercury's Bohemian Rhapsody. Park Stickney plays that tune right now.
Mademoiselle, it is with the deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now, we invite you to relax. Let us pull up a chair as the dining
room. Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest, please, please, be our guest. Be our guest.
Production numbers from Beauty and the Beast, or in the case of the topic for this portion of Live and Local, Beauty and the Beast Jr., a wonderful musical that will be put on by the Penguin Project of McLean County. And it's important to throw in of McLean County in there because the original Penguin Project actually originated in whatever county Peoria is in. And I don't know. That I probably should, but I don't. And that production will happen June 8th through the 10th at Central Catholic High School Auditorium. Is that in Bloomington or Normal?
It's in Bloomington.
And that is the voice of Tricia Stiller, who was on this show not long ago talking about a very different project, but a project nonetheless that resulted in a culminating theatrical performance, and that's called the Diversity Project. Tricia Stiller was stage director for that show, and which was The Miracle Worker, and is also stage directing this production for the Penguin Project of McLean County, which means, Tricia, you get to introduce us to the Penguin Project. This is new to me.
Well, Kevin, first let me thank you so much for allowing us to be here with you today. It's a thrill. The girls are so excited. The Penguin Project began as an idea created by Dr. Andrew Morgan, who is a prominent pediatrician and developmental pediatrician, and also an avid theater person himself. He performs, he supports, he's very, very active in the Peoria theater circles. He thought that combining theater programs or introducing his patients to some theater programs would be very helpful and with some of their challenges, whether it be a physical challenge or, you know, and other kind of issues that needed strengthening, like memorization and that sort of thing. He thought, why don't we try this? Why don't we put this together, this theatrical program, and see what happens? And it is a great fit. He had a great idea there. And he started the program and allowed us to be the first off-site location. McLean County was the first replication project, if you will, and we're in our fourth year now in McLean County.
Has it branched out beyond McLean County? Are you still the one and only, or is there another?
There is another organization now going strong in DeKalb, so he's got three total running now.
Why don't you introduce our guests? We have three others besides yourself, two of them actors in the production, and one not.
Thank you. To my left, I have Paula Collins, who is a staff member and parent. She helps with vocals and is quite the show-off because she's a soprano. And next to her is Molly Jensen, who is with us for the first year. Molly will be playing the lead role of Belle, the beauty of the story. And next to her is Alaria Collins, a four-year veteran of the program, who's one of our storytellers, one of our primary narrators. So and we're thrilled that they're with me today. And we also have with us, hiding in the corner, Barb Wells, who is one of the main reasons that we were able to get the program to locate to McLean County. She and her partner in crime, Dee Wilson, made that happen for us.
Well, let me ask you, Alaria, since you are the veteran of this, of the folks involved here today, 4 years, what got you involved in this in the first place, and what are some of the other shows you've been involved in? What excited you about, or what excites you about this particular musical, Beauty and the Beast?
Being a narrator.
Being the narrator. So you are the role of the narrator, and why is that exciting? And what do you get to do?
Tell a story.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit of the story?
Once upon a time, in a faraway land, a young prince lived in a shining castle.
Very good. That's the very first line of our production. And that's exactly right. It tells the story. What happens next, Alaria? Prince... Because he was not kind to the enchantress. He fell under a spell, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he became what?
A beast.
A horrible beast. That's right. And he didn't have any friends at all until he met who?
Belle.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
What does the beast look like in this production? Particularly...
Well, he's very loud. Okay. We actually haven't seen our costumes yet.
Oh, really?
Kevin,
okay.
But
oh.
He's very loud and menacing, isn't he?
Yeah.
So we're at that stage of the production where you're still kind of regular people until you put costumes on.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
As the narrator, Alaria, do you get to be on stage, or will you be off stage somewhere?
On stage.
You are on the stage, so you'll have your own costume of some kind or another.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's always exciting when the costumes come out, and yeah, you get to be somebody else, which is always cool for all actors. Paula Collins, who is Alaria's mother and also vocal coach, if Alaria's been involved 4 years, does that mean you've been involved 4 years?
I've actually been involved as a parent for 4 years, but as far as the staff is concerned, for 2 years. But I want to answer the question that you asked Elyria before. Our reasoning for bringing Elyria to the Penguin Project was to get her a little bit more socially active, knowing that, and then, you know, working on some of those muscle tones that she needs to work on because Elyria has arthritis. And when we're talking about the physical piece that, you know, Tricia was talking about a little bit before, those are some of the things that, you know, our children that are in the Penguin Project may have. They may have some of those physical disabilities, and Elyria is one that has juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And I think the movement is really great for her. And the other piece where I've just joined the staff last year, it's just been a rewarding challenge for me to work with the kids and to be have an opportunity to sing with the kids and help Chris Corpus, who is the musical director for Penguin.
And Molly, this is your first year.
Yeah.
In order to become Belle, did you have to do the same sort of audition that usually happens in...
Yep, I had to go through the exact same way of auditioning, and it was just, it was really cool to see how everybody put it all together, because I've been in a few plays before, but this is actually my first musical as well, so the fact that they were able to let me in and to be able to say, you know what, I actually think that you do have a voice, even if you were hesitant to that.
Have you felt hesitant to sing before?
A few times, yes, but I'm starting to actually feel a bit more confident in that, and I'm glad with what Penguin Project has actually brought to me, which is this kind of confidence which I felt that I needed, because without their help, I would still probably need some help in a few social areas.
Have you always liked to sing, but maybe never thought you could do it very well?
Yeah. It's like, I like to sing maybe around the house or just whenever I felt like singing, but not really that much in front of people. Like, in fact, usually whenever I would start singing and someone would come into the room, I would just stop. Now I feel a bit more confident to the fact that I can sing in front of people, and I can feel a bit more confident about my voice, and I can say, you know what, maybe I can sing.
What's the largest number of people you've sung in front of so far?
Probably the group at Penguin Project. So that, I'd have to say, about 40 people. So this is going to be a new experience, but at the same time, I just hope that I do everybody a good justice.
Well, we're going to get an idea of what you sound like. I think you're going to do some of the opening song, some of Belle's opening music, which the song is actually called Belle, because everybody else in the cast is singing about you, but you also do get to sing a little bit. Unaccompanied here, so this will be very interesting. Do you want to talk a little bit about the setup for this song?
The setup is actually really interesting because as soon as they close the number on the narrator's first scene, which opens up the story, you kind of get a sense of what the town is like and just kind of almost how many people are in Penguin Project 2, because not only do a lot of the actors and actresses get to be on stage, but the mentors get to act on stage as well.
Might ask you about mentors if we have a little time. But why don't you come on up to the singing microphone.
All right.
And let's hear a little bit. This is from Beauty and the Beast Junior, which is the a production that Music Theater International does, puts together for usually students of they have lots of different junior productions. And it will open on June the 8th at Central Catholic High School in Normal.
Bloomington.
In Bloomington. I asked you the question, then I didn't pay attention to the answer. What a
all.
Bad student I am.
<That's all. laughs>
And it's Molly Jensen in the role of Belle. She's live on Live and Local.
Little town, it's a quiet village. Every day like the one before. Little town, full of little people, waking up to say,
There goes the baker with his tray, like always, the same old bread and rolls to sell. Every morning just the same, since the morning that we came to this poor provincial town.
Good morning, Belle.
Good morning. So, yeah, it's just a small piece of it. And do you think I should go for the...
Right. Sure, do the next section.
Okay. Oh, isn't this amazing? It's my favorite part because you'll see. Here's where she meets Prince Charming, but she won't discover that it's him till chapter 3.
Okay, Molly Jensen in the role of Belle. That's there's lots of dancing going on in this number, I assume, mm-hmm. and all the other characters on stage, the whole village. Mm-hmm. And Molly, congratulations. You just sang in front of about 6,000 people.
Awesome. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah, there you go. even though there's only six of us in the room, plus Mike in the control room. But, yeah, there's about that many people listening. So you just got over that hump. So whoever comes on the rest of the week, you've got it made now. You just have to look at all of those people, which is always an extra challenge. Fortunately, the good thing about that is I remember on the very rare occasion when I was on stage, facing the audiences, there's all these lights up there, and you usually can't see the people very well. Mm-hmm. You just see the lights, and mm-hmm. you hope they're out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
true. Trisha, talk a little bit about some of the rest of the makeup of the cast and maybe the whole mentor relationship, especially
sure.
the mentor relationship.
Absolutely. We have... Molly said she's been singing in front of 40 people. It's more like 80 people because each of our artists have a mentor that shares the experience with them. And that's the beauty. That's the heart of the program right there. The artists are paired with a mentor who immediately becomes their friend. And that mentor is responsible in helping learn lines, learn dance steps, and in the event of illness or injury, has to be able to keep the show moving and take over for their artist when they can't be there, even, heaven forbid, if that happens to be a performance night. So the mentors have a huge role. But, you know, I say this all the time, but it's absolutely true. What we do on stage is magic. But what happens before we get there is even more so. These relationships that we form, it's hard to really describe what it's like. But I think that we learn, the staff and the mentors alike, learn so much more from our artists than we're ever able to teach them. I think they end up being the teachers, which is kind of one of those wonderful twists of life that happens. So, but we do, all total, we have 80 participants, 40 artists, 40 mentors, mm-hmm. and other members of our staff include, as Paula mentioned, Chris Corpus, who is our musical director, Tiffany Anderson is our choreographer, and Gabrielle Lager is our dance coach. We also have set designer, Jeremy Stiller, costume master, Opal Virtue. And it really does take all of us working together with the support, the tremendous support of our families to pull this all together. So,
Alaria Collins is the narrator for the show. Who's your mentor?
Emily Reeves.
Emily Reeves?
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about Emily?
Mm.
What do you like about Emily?
She's nice.
She's been your mentor for two years. 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So you've really gotten to know her pretty well over this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Molly, yours?
My mentor is Emma Barth. And what I think is kind of cool is that we actually go to the same high school. So, yeah.
So you knew her before?
Actually, I didn't. So that was kind of the joy of Penguin Project. It helps me see more people who are even at my own high school, because I kind of go to a large high school, so
it's easy to get lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why Penguin?
Well, that was Dr. Morgan's idea, and it's symbolic. Obviously, a penguin is a bird, but cannot fly, so has had to adapt and become successful in his environment in his own way. And that's really what we do. We might not be able to do things as everyone else does, but we find our own way to be successful, just like the penguins. So we're happy to be penguins, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Every one of us has some way in which we can't fly quite the way we'd like to.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But as long as we're determined to get there, we'll figure it out, won't we, girls?
Yep.
The Penguin Project of McLean County presenting stage production of Beauty and the Beast Jr. June 8th through the 10th at Central Catholic High School Auditorium in Bloomington. Are they all evening shows, or what are the show times?
Friday and Saturday are evening performances. Curtain time is 7 p.m. And then Sunday we have a matinee, and curtain time for that is 2 p.m. And tickets will be available at the door, or you can get them in advance through Bloomington Parks and Recreation.
And it's a pleasure to have all of you here. Tricia Stiller is directing the production. Paula Collins is a vocal coach and also parent of Alaria Collins, who is narrating the show, and Molly Jensen also joining us in the role of Belle, who is the beauty of the title, Beauty and the Beast. It's a pleasure to have you all on the show, and I hope it all goes really, really well.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. You are invited to join WYLL on our custom-designed trip to England and Wales this September to experience the real Downton Abbey in a private tour just for friends of WYLL. You can see lovely Cotswold villages and the Yorkshire countryside, where you can meet Alan J.W. Bell, who's producer of Last of the Summer Wine, tour Greenway, which is Agatha Christie's home, and the elegant English spa town of Bath, where you can visit the Jane Austen Center before wrapping up the trip in London. The tour is two-thirds full, so if you're interested, call 217-333-7300 or visit WYLL's website for more information. Our show today is supported by the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois.